What is going on, Swoopers? Welcome back to another episode of Squawk with Swoop, and I have got the biggest guest today. I've got the man himself, Eddie Maguire. How are you going, mate?
Swoop, great to be with you, pal. I love watching what you're doing and seeing you on Twitter and all the rest of it. It's great to have somebody who's as mad a Collingwood supporter as me around this, mate. But you're doing a great service and we're loving it, mate. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. And actually, talking about being a Matt Collingwood supporter like you, I actually grew up in Broadie as well. Yeah. I grew up in Broadie, went to St. Dominic's. I was actually, I was altar boy there for about 2 or 3 years as well. So
was I. I was all that.
No way.
Yeah, so I went to St. Dominic's, did you?
Yeah. But I didn't know you were an altar boy.
I was an altar boy, yeah. Survived all of that. We had a good footy team back in those days. St. Dominic's Junior Football Club. Players came from there. Curly Austin from Carlton and Mark Dawson from North Melbourne because they were the two zones in those days. Yeah, so whereabouts in Broadie were you from?
Probably right next to Olsen Place, right next to Panola. So I went to Panola for high school.
Whereabouts next to Olsen Place? So did I. I was one block from Olsen Place.
Oh, I was Laheen Street is where I grew up.
Laheen Street. Now, back in the day, mate, the Laheen Street Sharps. Have you ever heard of the Laheen Street Sharps?
No.
Mate, Laheen Street Sharps were the toughest blacks. Outside of Broadie, they were known as the Broadie Boys, but there was Laheen Street Sharps. They were the boys used to hang out. They used to sit down there at Olsen Place. So I was one block the other way up at Gerbert Street near Camp Road there on Woodford Street. So there we go. Now we've got ourselves sorted out, mate. You live probably three blocks from where I grew up.
Bloody hell. What a small world, mate.
It is indeed. And how did you enjoy Penola? It used to be Thurie College when I was a young black and gagging.
It was. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, graduated there. It was pretty good. Obviously, they had the Glenroy campus and the Broadie campus.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of fun and did what I had to do, and I'm here now. So.
Good on you, mate. Well, that's where my youngest sister went to Sancta Sophia, which is now the Glenroy campus. There you go.
That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Look, I wanted to sort of get you on, talk about – you know, obviously, talk about the Pies and what it sort of means to you now that you're, not that you weren't a fan before, but you're kind of out of the club now and now you're just a nuffy like one of us, mate.
That's it, exactly. Well, what's it like? It's just really exciting. I obviously was at the club as president for nearly 23 years, so it takes a fair bit out of you, excuse me, and you put a lot in. And you get a lot out too. Just to be a servant of the club was a magnificent honour because, living at Broadmeadows, it gave me a sense of identity being a Collingwood supporter. You wouldn't have gone to Victoria Park, but when I first went there as a 5 or 6, 7 year old with my dad walking, it was the first time I actually felt part of a community. Was when I was inspired by the Collingwood crowd. I remember getting off the train at Victoria Park Station. Couldn't believe that there was a station named after our magnificent home ground. And then walking in, and then when the crowd went up at Victoria Park, and in my case, Peter McKenna walked up to full forward at the railway end. We were in the forward pocket standing there, and it was just sensational. I just couldn't believe it. And then later on, going to see the Pies at the MCG, and Peter McKenna kicked 9 against Richmond this particular day. And it was just, it was just so fantastic. So now I go a bit different. You know, I'm sitting on the other side of the ground these days in a box. For me, it's like this week everyone's coming up to me. It's always gratifying that Collingwood people understand how much I love the club and therefore have the same feelings as everybody else. I often say I might love Collingwood as much as a lot of people, but no one loves them more than me. and it means there's a lot of us who love the Pies exactly the same amount. And that was always what was always in my mind, was that I just wanted to make our club as good as it possibly could be. So when Victoria Park was falling apart, now I believe that Collingwood supporters deserve to have the best setup as of anybody. So we did the best deal ever at the MCG. As I said, Victoria Park was falling apart. So we deserve to have the best setup for any athlete in Australia. So we went to what was then the Lexus Centre, now the AIA Centre. And then we were able to double back around. And we've been able to build our spiritual home, Victoria Park, into the women's league and to, we want to get under 18s in there, et cetera.
Yep.
And, I've been talking to the current board about a few different things, and they've got great plans. So, you know, for me, it was everything. We're able to get the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the end. We got the MCG, the AIA Centre, and Mighty Victoria Park. So, and all within, you know, kicking distance of each other in the inner city. It's the best property play of all time, and it just gives our club a wonderful future.
It does. And look, you mentioned, you know, Victoria Park, and you're right, I was too young to sort of go there and watch the Pies play. So I probably went there for my first time a few years ago to watch an AFLW game there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was pretty surreal. I filmed a couple of videos there in the lead up to finals as well, in the stands and stuff like that. And it's such a surreal experience with all the memories that are sort of etched into to all of those seats. And now we're sort of making our own memories
Yeah.
at the MCG and the AIA Centre and stuff like that. It's a really good time to be a Collingwood supporter with everything that's going on.
It is. And it, look, in my mind, I've always believed Collingwood to have the capacity to be one of the biggest clubs in the world. And, you know, in 2010, 2011, in that period, and now again in 2023, you know, where our average crowds are as big as anything going around. And, you know, this in a city that's got 10 other, well, 10 clubs, you know, it's quite amazing. But the Pies, you know, everyone's getting excited about Carlton getting a crowd for the first time in 2 weeks. That's because they haven't been to the footy for 20 years, most of them. But, you know, for us, we just roll in, roll out, fill the place, and just keep going. So it is a phenomena, but it always has been, you know, and that's why for me to just have the baton for a while, and for the board around me and all the administrators who worked with us and the players and the coaches to be able to just add another few bricks in the Collingwood wall, if you like, and then hand it on in good order to the board that's there now under Jeff Brown. It's great. And here we are, you know, we 2018 a grand final, preliminary final 2019, win a final in Perth in the first of the plague years, you know, rebuild the club in that next year, and then bang into it last year again, and now into a preliminary final. You know, we've gone pretty well. In fact, you know, in the time basically from the 2002 grand final where we'd been able to get the club from last into the finals, you know, I think we're in a, you know, we play in a I think it's, we've played a grand final on an average every 4 years. And a preliminary final, you know, I think we've played 10 or 11 preliminary finals. So, yeah, you get value for money for a Collingwood supporter. We don't always win a flag, but, you know, no one does. But, yeah, we're in there and we're playing in big games and you get value for money. I mean, for most clubs, I used to say, you know, clubs call matches blockbusters. We call them home and away games.
It's
But
true. It's
it's true.
absolutely true.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone's going ape about, you know, the crowd, you know, for Friday for the preliminary final. Now, I don't know how many this year we've played in front of about 4 or 5 90,000s, I think. So
It's been
it is,
crazy.
but it just but it says everything about the Collingwood supporters, you know. When all the other clubs left the MCG for dead, it was the Pies who went there and sat in a building site and you know, helped bring it back and pay for it. Don't worry about that. The money's come through Collingwood over the years. So, you know, Collingwood's more than paid for its place in this city.
No, and I can only attest to that, seeing what I've seen with what I sort of do and stuff like that. And yeah, we were playing to 95,000, 96 at the Anzac Day. I think there was 90, over 95,000. We've played to a million supporters this
Yeah.
season. Preliminary final is just
TV
another,
rights,
yeah.
TV, Channel 7 would be gone without us, and Fox Footy, and yeah, and all the radio, and you know, you know, it's great that Carlton's up there again because, to be honest, most of it was, not, or half jokingly say to my colleagues at Carlton, you're costing us $1 million a year. What's wrong with you guys? Come good, for goodness sake, you know, and and it's great because the Collingwood box office is where it's at, and you know, we'll start be able to make some good money, and you know, and that'll all go back into the infrastructure for the supporters and the players. So, you know, the great thing about our club is it's not privately owned. It's actually, you know, and you know, the board do it for nothing. In fact, usually, you know, reasonably to big expense, not only time but also finances. But that was the job. So, yeah, you know, no one should ever complain about that. It was an honour, and for me to have been, you know, even thought of as being involved at Collingwood 20 odd years ago, and then to become the president, you know, it was just wonderful for me.
And with that sort of presidency, so you sort of took over at the end of 98 from Kevin Rose, and 99 you obviously, you know, finished last, got that number one pick, brought Josh Fraser into the club. A couple of years later, we're playing in the 02, 03 grand final. So you've seen Collingwood, you know, in your presidency at the lowest of sort of lows, and to the highest of highs. You know, that 2010 grand final, unfortunately 2011, and, you know, and 2018, and seeing them and sitting back and seeing them, it's like a roller coaster supporting the Pies sometimes,
Yeah,
but seeing them
quite a
back up
bit,
now
you
at the
know.
apex.
And don't forget, we don't shoot the salary cap, and we don't get academies and all that sort of stuff. We had a bit of success, obviously, with father son, but everyone gets that, and a little bit with the zone players, but everyone gets that. So you know, I think the one of the proudest things for me is that in the 23 years that I was president, our club did not cause any trouble for the AFL and only brought money, riches, and glory for the AFL. There were no drugs, there was no salary cap breaches, nothing. In fact, we led the way, and that was great. And you know, and the AFL have acknowledged that, so it's not just me trumpeting it. But you know, and we had, and that's not just me. That's the whole club. That was, you know, the boards that I was lucky enough to be involved in. Some ripping people. And you mentioned Kevin Rhodes, you know, the immediate past president. Kevin was just great. He still was right till the very end of my time at the club, and even now socially, was a great sounding board. He loves the club. I mean, the Rhodes family, God's sake,
Of
you know.
course.
And Nuno D'Aquino, people probably don't even know who Nuno was. He was vice president when I went and got him as the head of CUB. And when we were completely broke, I went into his office one day and I said, we've got no money. And in fact, the money for the next 3 years of sponsorships has already been spent. We need your help, okay? Because there was nothing. I couldn't figure it. I was trying to figure out how to even turn a dollar. And our club was on the bottom of the ladder, you know, shocking facilities, no leverage anywhere. AFL came to said you have to sell games interstate, that sort of thing. They were trying to knuckle us at the time. And I went into Nuno's office and he sat there. I don't know if I've ever told this story publicly. And Nuno handed me over a contract and said, fill it in. What do you need from CUB? And I filled out a number and I pushed it back. He said, you know, you could get a lot more than that. I said, if I need it, I'll come back. I said, no. So we're going to rebuild this club. We're not looking for handouts. And then Nuno went, right, okay. And then he came on the board and was just fantastic, because he realised that we weren't just, you know, we were serious. I mean, for me, it was about rebuilding Collingwood. I had a real mad stare in those days, especially when the AFL came to our boardroom at Collingwood and said, oh, you have to, you know, play games interstate. And I thought, we've carried you for over 100 years, you bastards. And at that stage, Greg Swan and I escorted Wayne Jackson from the premises. He said, thanks. And that was the end of it. And then we declared war. That was it. We knew on a war footing from that moment on. And, you know, it wasn't great always. I didn't want to be in fights with the AFL all the time, but it was hand-to-hand combat for us to survive and then to thrive. And, you know, you look what they were trying to do. They deliberately, and they say it, so it's no, I'm not telling tales. They wanted Brisbane to do well. They wanted Sydney to do well. That was their whole modus operandi, was to get this going. But I used to say to them, you know, you can get as much value as you get Collingwood, Carlton, and Essendon, and Richmond and go, right? Remembering that Richmond and Carlton were useless coming through those periods through the 2000s. And, you know, but as it turned out, we've got a great competition now. You know, the fact that Gold Coast, sorry, not Gold Coast, GWS and Brisbane are in it. Yeah, the AFL, they're doing cartwheels. The fact that Collingwood and Carlton are in it, it makes it even better. I mean, and I know in their heart of hearts, the AFL, as much as Collingwood, Carlton would turn Melbourne upside down, they've already got the money. They've sold out all the finals, and so if it became GWS versus Brisbane, they'd be pretty happy, the AFL.
Of course, it's one baby and their other baby.
Exactly, yeah. But we got to support the party. That's
Yeah,
it.
exactly right. And look, I guess we can sort of transition into that. This game on Friday, it's a bit of a crazy one. You know, we saw what happened last year with the prelim. Obviously, Sydney, absolutely heartbreaking. And we go into this year with a better list, I feel, and you know, sort of everyone sort of feeling a new sort of a bit of steam coming out of us as well. Craig McRae is just getting better at coaching. How do you sort of see Friday night playing out?
Well, I think you know, I think we've got 21 of our best 22 ready to go. So Tay Adams obviously got a bit of a tinge during the week, and fingers crossed he's right, because he is the heart and soul of our club. He's an absolute ripper. I think Morey will be far better for the run. Just looking from a old reporter's point of view, I reckon Josh Dacos was injured in the last game. I think I watched him on all the TVs, all the vision I saw of him over the weekend at training the week before, he kicked with his left foot every time. And I didn't think he had the penetration in his kick. So I reckon he might have had an ankle
Okay.
2 weeks ago, but looks to be going beautifully now. Obviously, Nick will come in. Be interesting to see where we play him, whether he goes into the centre straight away, or he comes off a halfback flank, or even starts on the bench, then comes on as an impact player.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
So all that sort of stuff, it's fascinating. But look, I think Murphy having a run as well, being back. I really feel for Johnny Noble.
Yeah.
But who knows? He might get selected yet. On the matchups, they've got Zorko and a few of these blokes who nip around, like to go forward. So we'll see where that goes. But I just think we've got a really good setup now. I love it. I think that this is a big opportunity for Coxie to roll back the clock to 2017 and do it again. I think I like Coxie being first ruck,
Yeah,
certainly at
me
the
too.
bounces. I think we get straight into, he's got to run in, stick his knees straight up and get into their guys. Obviously got the sore shoulder. But if we can do that and get the ball rolling forward our way, we're going to be good. Obviously, they've got a great midfield, but I like the way look, they've had St Kilda was an easy kill for them. There were times in that game St Kilda came back. Port was shot last week, and they got on and fixed them up. I mean, that's all they can do. But if our guys come out and hit them with the Collingwood pressure, like we have done in Melbourne, particularly early in the game, and we ran and terrorised Essendon in the last match. If the boys are on, then I like us a lot.
And look, we talk about the Collingwood pressure and how good we are, and Craig McRae and all the sort of players say it, that the fans are the 19th man on the field, and you've experienced it like no other in prelims, in grand finals. How is that when you're sort of standing there and hearing that roar? How does that make you feel?
Oh, it makes me feel so good. I mean, it was, as I said, the first real emotion of Collingwood was when the crowd roared when I was at Victoria Park, and it was on. That was a noise. Wow, and then the big games, and so that was always in my mind what Collingwood was all about. I used to have the slogan, "Welcome to the big time," and all you had to do was turn up with your scarf on that you've got now, say "Go Pies," and you were part of the biggest game in town. So it didn't matter whether you're rich, poor, anything. You just turn up, be a Collingwood supporter. One of the most special moments for me was in the preliminary final of 2010, when the Collingwood chant went up against Geelong, and it just rattled the MCG. And I remember sitting there with my two boys and my wife, and they sort of looked up at me, and because I was always, "Don't go the early crow on this." And it was in the third quarter, and we were killing it, and the crowd just went berserk, and you could feel the whole place lift. And where I was sitting was in the VFL enclosure, AFL, sorry, AFL enclosure, and I could see people turning around to see, what I was looking like. I was probably sitting there looking like Caesar. But at the same time, I could feel the hatred coming as well,
Oh,
where
yeah.
people just really thought, "No, they're getting too big. They're getting too big." And it's no surprise they changed the interchange rule over that summer, but. There was a real, it was a catch-22. It was just the biggest moment in our club, I reckon, at that stage. And then, of course, we came out and had the draw, and then we flogged them in the replay. But at that moment in time, I think Collingwood was the biggest club that's ever been in the AFL by that far. It wasn't funny. And that Collingwood chant, when it went up, my God, it lifted, nearly lifted me out of my chair. It was fantastic.
And
I
it still feels
sort of,
like
I I just sit there, sort of looking like I was being serious. Certainly, I was jumping up and down inside. I was up and down. I wanted to get up. Yes.
Well, you got to sometimes
Oh,
that 2010 grand final. It's pretty stupid if I say, how did that make you feel? Because obviously
yeah.
it's amazing, right? Re it's a drought-breaking grand final. As the president of the club, from what you saw the club in rabbles when you came in to that 2010 and being in, so many losing grand finals and prelims, how was that?
Well, I think we actually deserved it by that stage. I think we were a bit stiff the 2 years before, to be perfectly honest. But when Goddard kicked that goal in the first grand final, I've never felt despair like it in my life. And I was there in 77, and and the likes of this was just utter despair that we could get knocked off after everything we'd done that year and everything that had happened. And, Clakey missed a couple of goals in the late in the second quarter and just left the door open for when we got those, we would have been by 15 goals or again anyway. And then when it was all happening around us, I could see into the coach's box that there was 12 seconds left. You know that there's 2 seconds on the throw in, so that's 10 seconds, which means unless somebody does something stupid and gives away 50, it's a draw. So I probably had 30 seconds up my sleeve to get composed as to what we were going to do for the rest of the week, and went out onto the ground. And what happened at that stage is the toilets had banked up and the rooms had flooded, so everyone had to stay out on the ground. And Maxie had sort of blown his foofer valve at that stage about not wanting to come back next week until I grabbed him and said, "What do you want to be a losing grand final captain for the rest of your life?" I said, "Mate, this is half time." And Mick Malthouse that night gave a great speech about it, half time. But when we're out there, we're able to work it out. And I'd read Ron Barassi's book, The Coach, how in 1977 North Melbourne brought everyone together. And Barass got up at that night at their banquet and said to all the women, "Give me your husband for one more week. It'll be worth it. I know you want to go on holidays. I know you've had enough of it. Give me your husband and boyfriend for one more week." So when we went down, the first thoughts were to just go home. And I said, no. We've paid for Crown anyway. We're going there, right? Let's get everybody in. And what we were able to do as a club, and this is why I always felt it was a great club win. So the supporters had done their bit. We got there. And then the administrators had to go to work. And there's shots of me in the rooms talking. I'm talking to Andrew Dimitri, trying to get the deal, what's going to happen. We arranged we'd have a 7 o'clock breakfast meeting the next morning to go through everything. We're on the phone all night, working it all through. So I wanted to know that I could go to the players and say, "You're going to get paid. You're going to get paid well. We'll fix up your holidays. We'll do this. We'll do that." So anyway, by the time we got everybody into to Crown for the dinner, we had Pie in the Sky Travel in those days, who had got everyone's holidays and said, "No, we're right." We got all the parents who were there, because what happens in grand final week? The players get terrorized by their nearest and dearest. Everyone wants a ticket. "Can you get me a ticket? Can you do that? I sat next to you at school," etc. Mum and dad fly in from Perth or South Australia or wherever, and they're there. So what are they? They want to be, "Come, let's have
Of
dinner."
course.
And you're going, "Oh, I just want to, give me some time." You go to training, everything's hyper. You've got to do 10,000 autographs. You've got all these things, and it wears you down. It becomes really wearing if you're not prepared properly for it. So anyway, we got there in the night, and we had all old-timers. I remember going in at halfway through the last quarter. I went inside the room just to get away from everyone for a second, and I went to the bathroom, came out, and Bob Rose's wife, Elsie, was there, and she was head in her hands. She said, "Oh, no, we're cursed," and all this was. And she went out, and all this stuff was going on. And so we knew that we had a job to do. So when we went on the ground, I said to Mick Malthouse, "This is what happened in 77. And Mick said to me, he said, "Tell me exactly what happened." I said, "Well, this happened, this happened, this happened." And, they went there, they consolidated, they got it right. We were flipping and flopping all over the joint. Everyone's ringing up, "Oh, we should have won," and, "Oh, this." And Phil Carmen, "Oh, he's out for a second week," all that routine. And they knew they blew it. So North sort of came out of that grand final thinking they'd saved their grand final, as opposed to Collingwood, who thought they'd blown another grand final, that this is another one, right? Whereas on this occasion, our guys had won, had got there, but St Kilda got in front and we got back. So from that moment on, it's half time. And, we might have told a few fibs along the way to the players as well. We're saying that St Kilda had, I went around and told everybody the story about what we're doing. St Kilda are out there all over the place, and their president said that they should play the game on a Sunday to give them an extra day. I said, "Why don't we play Friday night? We're ready to go." We're making it up. And the players went in the next day. But the main thing was that night we got everyone settled, and the next morning they came in, and Gary Pert, myself, had that under control, and David Emerson at the club had all that stuff under control. And then, Mick, didn't have to worry about Mick. He had everything under control from a football point of view. And Geoff Walsh, just fantastic. So we all come in the morning, everything's set. Could go around and Swanee, "Yeah, mate, they're going to pay you this and that." "Oh, beauty," says, and you can go to Bali. "Right, okay." So everyone was right, and we got ourselves. So the next day they did all the testing. They took urine samples and spit testing and all this. And I think Mick might have fibbed to the players. He actually said to them, "Oh, your results have come back. They're unbelievable." Because we were saying, you know, they're down at Moorabbin. You know, the place is falling apart. We've got the altitude room. We've got the Lexus Center. You know,
yeah.
this is why we do all this. This is why we went to Arizona. This is where it pays. Everyone was up on their toes. Going, oh, beauty. And you know what? The next day, because it had been a hot grand final that day, as far as hot as a game, but hot climactically. By Tuesday, all their levels were back up. Everyone was brand new. And whether it was physical or psychosomatic or a combination of the lot, by Tuesday, our guys were running on top of the ground and ready to go. Yeah. So then Mick had to actually hold them back rather than trying to get them up. So by the time we got to the Saturday, when we got to the game, you know, I was that confident we were going to win. And then we came out and flogged them and got the early goals and we sat back and smoked the cigar, as they say. And for me, it was, so to get to your original question, it was everything for me. It was a dream come true. One, to see a Collingwood premiership. Two, to see it in such dramatic circumstances, having been at the 77 to have it under control. Three, because I thought, Mick had just been so deserving of a premiership at Collingwood, and all the boys and everybody was there, and all the old supporters. You know, a lot of them are dead now. That was the last one they saw. Yeah, Elsie Rose was there. You know, I was able to ring up Peter McKenna on the Sunday morning and say, "Peter, I said to him, what are you doing for the grand final? Oh, I'm thinking of going." And I said, "No, right." I said, "Can you do me a favour, Pete?" Remembering this to the guy who I've become Collins Water because I watched Peter McKenna, right? But his number on the back, sewed on by my mum. And I said to Peter on the Sunday morning, "Well, I've got a job for you." "Oh, what can I do?" said Peter. "You know, do anything for us." He said, "I think we can win it." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, if we do, I want you to present the Premiership Cup."
Wow.
And I must admit, I still get teary thinking about it, and so does Peter. And there was just this silence and, oh, you know, and I said to him, "Have you got a new suit?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I bought this." So he said, "I bought this, yeah, beautiful suit." He said, "Yeah, it's navy blue." I said, "What?" "Get in on Monday, we'll get you this suit." So that was it. So he was standing in the race with the great Cowboy Neil, who died this week of St Kilda,
unfortunately.
Both with one hand on the cup, you know, to present it, and they had the draw. And then the next week it was Peter who was able to do it. And he said it had a profound impact on his life. It made him feel part of the club again, and it sort of, got rid of the sins of all those missed opportunities, which he was really hard on himself, shouldn't have been. And so it was a healing experience for so many of everyone around the place. And, you know, people say to me, was it the best moment of your life? You know, they expect you to say, "Oh, I don't know, the day, you know, you got married and your kids are born." And, well, of course, they're different situations. But for me, it was, because my two boys were with me.
Yeah.
And Carla was there, who, you know, when she got engaged to me, none of this was in the brochure. You know, this Collingwood stuff, you know. And, yeah, my boys didn't know anything. I was present before they were born, you know.
Yeah.
People don't realise Carla was 28 when I became president. You know, I was 33.
Yeah.
We were young. We had players older than the president. And and the pressure was on, and, you know, because I was a public figure, their enemy, you wouldn't even remember the footy show, taking the mick out of me all the time and all that sort of stuff. So it was constant. But, you know, you're in it, and there's nothing better than being the man in the arena. There's no doubt about it. So when we won the flag, there was everything. It was everything. I loved it.
Like Caesar, right?
No, I'll tell you what, this sounds almost a bit obsequious, but the great thing about it is actually seeing everybody else enjoying it.
Yeah.
The supporters, you know, people going up and rubbing Bobby Rose for luck beforehand. And, you know, I still love reading the supporter sites, you know, what people were writing, just how much joy it gave them. And then when we went back to Amy Park after the win, and you know, Lionel Richie had played, so we've got Lionel Richie warming up the crowd for us to walk on the stage. Yeah, it was out of control. It was just unbelievable that we had. It was just such a great day, and then the next day, obviously down at Gosh's Paddock, was just sensational. It was everything.
And you talked about 2010 sort of being deserved after everything that we sort of went through. Now, sort of sitting back, do you see, obviously I like to, not think too far ahead, but if we do beat the Giants, go into the premiership, against, Brisbane Lions 20 years on since 2003, so many storylines, and Carlton as well. Would this one, if we win it, be more earned than deserved?
Oh, we've earned it, no doubt. We finished on top of the ladder in the longest season ever. The longest season ever. No, I mean, the style of play, we've brought the game back to its best again.
We have.
When I say we, Craig McRae's been phenomenal in his coaching team. I never thought Justin Leppich would be trying to get Collingwood over the line. And Brendan Bolton, the last time I saw those two, they both wanted to fight me because I was giving it to them
jeez.
at various stages. No, it's been wonderful. And Craig is such a coach for the moment. His energy and the way he actually gets Collingwood and the supporters and yeah, there's a great feeling of lightness around the club. So I think that that's one of the things that's going to be great for us is that there's a feeling of lightness, not the pressure that's always on Collingwood. No one owes you anything, but both Collingwood and Brisbane were clearly the best two teams in the home
Understood.
and away season, and Brisbane undefeated at home is an amazing record. And I think what the coach has gone through up in Brisbane with all the stuff that happened, the pressure on Chris Fagan, who is one of the best people we ever met in footy, Chris Fagan. He's just a wonderful person. And what he and his family have had to go through this year to be able to keep it all together is phenomenal. So, if it was playing anyone other than us, you'd be saying, yeah, you deserve actually this, but they can maybe have it down the track. He's not getting it this year. We deserve it.
We deserve it this year. We
But
deserve it.
I mean, I just want to see, to be honest, but I'll have tears in my eyes when they say number 10, Scott Pendlebury, and he's just been so enormous for our club, and what a superstar. And Morey, who it'll be amazing if this all happens, if things go well for us. I had him in the rooms as a 10-year-old, giving him Adidas packs to keep him so he wanted to play for Collingwood, not Melbourne. Peter and all that sort of thing. And the Dacos boys, Peter Dacos, my God, does he deserve everything that Dacos gave to our club as a player, and just been, and Colleen, who's just such a wonderful mother and husband, and for them, for the Dacos to have that moment, just would be, I mean, there's so many parts to it, I just love it all. And big Meso, big Coco,
Imagine. Imagine.
They can bring me a cup round to my place for Christmas lunch. We have Christmas lunch together every year.
I
He comes
love
up.
that.
He dressed up last year as a giant elf, turned up legend. He's
No,
knocking on the door like a giant elf, 7 foot elf. And
that's goosebumps. That's absolute just goosebumps.
there's so many stories. I mean, you name a player. I mean, look at Jeremy Howe. I mean, what he went through to get back. When he broke his arm, I didn't think he'd get back. Isaac Quayner has been fantastic. To hear the stories of how hard he worked with the Dacos boys over the summer. They said, Johnny Noble's a great story. Bruz, after everything he got through, after Melbourne tried to sabotage his chance of playing a grand final. That's why I was, nice and, I just thought
Of
that
course.
the code was just broken. Just, what are you doing? Okay, we get it. It was an incident, and nothing against the Brayshaws. They're
Of
wonderful
course.
people. But spoke to his dad at Danny Laidley's launch the other day. We've been texting, but it just had nothing to do with what happened to poor old Angus Brayshaw. But I just thought, gee, no one's thinking about Bruz's life here.
100%, I agree.
To get rubbed out for a grand final. Anyway, we've got to get there yet, but we're all in, set and ready to go for the preliminary final, and that's the main thing. But yeah, there's people say, oh, don't think too, don't get ahead of yourself. But the great thing about being a supporter is you can. The great thing about life is actually sometimes it's waiting to go on holiday is better than a holiday sometimes. The journey can sometimes be better than the destination. So let's enjoy the next what are we, week and a half to go. Let's get to this week, and then let's see where it all falls next week. If we're there, by golly, they'll know we're around. And if we're not, well, We'll lick our wounds and go again next
And
year.
go again, 100%. Look, before I do let you go, I did want to make mention of one thing that probably not a lot of people realize, and one thing that I'm really, thankful for. I watched the Four Corners program a couple of weeks ago about the LGBTQIA plus community, and what you've done with the Pink Magpies to start them out. And myself and a couple of other supporters, we've actually started. We Collingwood were the last. They didn't have any. The Pink Magpies disbanded, and we didn't have a Pride supporter group. So we've actually started a Collingwood Pride, and I just wanted to sort of thank you for, for helping, at the start with the Pink Magpies, and
Well, there was
now.
no, I can tell you it wasn't popular at the start. There was
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of
no
course.
rush from headquarters or anywhere else
Yeah.
to get on board. So, but for me, Collingwood has always been the place for disassociated to come together as one.
Yeah.
And that was always my illness because that was my experience. As I said, I didn't know where I belonged as a kid. My parents were from overseas, Broadie. I lived in this Yerba Street where Broadie East Primary School was, and I went to St Dominic's in the school uniform, and you had a fight on the way to school, and fight coming back at lunchtime, and a fight on the way back, fight after school. Then you can't play footy together. So that was primary school, and then I went to school on the other side of town. So there was always this. But the thing that gave me my sense of purpose was the Collingwood Footy Club. And, so for me, a lot of people say, oh, Collingwood owe you a debt. No. I could never repay the debt that the Collingwood Football Club gave to me as a person, as a young man, the joy that my boys and my family gets from being part of the army. And it's just been a wonderful journey. And, as I always say, I'll be a pie till I die. And I just love when that famous song comes on and the boys run out the MCG and just be something else. And I was asked the other day by the AFL, what happens if Collingwood plays Carlton? They just wanted to sort of test the jumpers, and all that sort of stuff. I said, no, we want them in their navy blue. Yeah, we want to beat them in their full kit, and I said, if that means we have to wear the white jumper, well, that's so be it, the old one. But we'll see what happens with all that. But we know what the two teams with the black backs is.
No,
That
no,
I mean, I don't
no.
know what happened. I designed a third jumper for playing against Carlton
Yeah.
and Port Adelaide, which was the sort of the black, the front, the jumper we wear with a white stripe down the middle, which was the 1917 version that sort of we brought in when I became president. But we changed the back because you don't have Carlton with navy blue and us with navy with black and white and
Crazy.
the white numbers. So if we have it, and I think it's going to happen, where we'll have our the white back, if you like, with the black numbers, it looks sensational. And I mean, I don't know about you, Swoop, you're young, you probably don't understand how much we hate Carlton, but
Oh.
you've got 2 hours for me to explain.
Oh, mate, I'm starting to. Especially,
Oh,
I think
yeah.
it's a sort of new era with social media. It's
Yeah.
just, not. It's not as no one's bashing each other in the streets, but they're bashing
Yeah.
each other online, and I'm in
Oh,
the
yeah.
thick
Well,
of
it's
it, so
probably.
I get
I saw some big blues in the old days, my God. But
it.
got that on the train. Wow. But the yeah, you know what the indicator? I warned Luke Darcy on the hot breakfast when he was getting, oh, this is good about Richmond coming. He said, don't wish this on anybody. You don't know. And then a year later, he said, oh, you're right. I said, well, wait till this one get cracking. No, but if we get a Collingwood grand final and against Carlton, and just that moment when we run onto the ground and you see both teams line up for that first bounce, and you see the famous black and white stripes of Collingwood and their navy blue, and it
Oh, yeah.
goes, and we're into each other. We've played each other more times than any other clubs in the history of the game. We've played more grand finals against each other. Now, Pies have played on an average of three and a half, every 3.5 years in the entirety of the history of the game. We're in a grand final,
Bloody
and we're
hell.
in there and we're there, we're thereabouts again if we can get up over this weekend. So we're in the preliminary final, but that's the sort of thing. So this week we go up against the newest team in the competition. There we were in there, orange, good on them. But you'll know that when you turn the TV on and you see those black and white stripes, you're watching serious AFL. You're not confusing it with anything else. All right, there they are. And that's what they say. And we go, here we are. And that's what's going to make it so good. So, yeah,
Party pies.
I haven't lost any passion at all, Swooper.
I can tell. I can tell.
I just love it, mate. It's great. And as I said, those mighty magpies, when we get stuck in orbit, will be just fantastic.
I can't wait. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on, mate. I really do appreciate everything that you have done for the club, and thank you for coming on and chatting to the
Pleasure.
fans and stuff like that.
Now, what I want this week is, right, this is the challenge I'm going to put out to all Collingwood supporters, right?
Tell us.
If they get away to a start the opposition, or they get a little bit in front, I don't want anyone sitting there looking glum, right? We're going to have 90,000 of the 96,000 will be there, or 85,000. We've got to be into them from start to finish. We've got to support the boys. Doesn't matter what happens. When the ball's going back to the centre, I don't want people sitting there, looking at each other. I know it's all changed, but back in the old days, because they used to get the ball straight back and get in and not wait for 45 seconds, the 15 seconds before the bounce, when they go again, got to get the roar going. Right? We've got to get everybody up and going. Give Coxie that impetus in the 15 seconds beforehand, get it going, because this will scare the shit out of them. They're used to playing in front of friends and family, right? We've got to be there. Right, and just give it the Collingwood. So I want us to be not the 9/8. I want us to be the 9/8, the 20th, the 21st, 22nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. All right, to absolutely just assault them up. I'll never forget when the only time I ever went to a game, I thought, "Geez, I wonder how the crowd's going to go here." Was the preliminary final against Richmond in 2017. They're all up and going and all the rest of it, and they got the drums going beforehand. I thought, they might have us here for the crowd. And the Collingwood crowd roared, and it drowned out the drums. It drowned out the drums. Richmond ran out. They couldn't hear anything. All they could hear was Collingwood people screaming and going berserk. And then our boys ran out. And I know, because I asked the boys after, they said they couldn't believe it. They could hear it all happening in the room. So they couldn't hear the drums. And all they heard was this roar. And they wondered what was going on. And then when they came out, it just went again. And that was it. Set the tone. Everyone was on. And, Richmond got sat back on their heels a bit, and away we went and gave it to them. So, but we've got to make sure. So it's one thing, carrying on when we kick a goal. We've got to get it right when they kick one.
100%, Eddie, I agree. Thank you so much, mate. I appreciate it.
I'll be leading the charge. Don't worry.
I'll be there, mate. I'll see you there.
Thanks, buddy. And
thanks, Eddie.
Congratulations for you and everything you do for the club as well.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, mate.